Well, you may have noticed a theme there in all of the praise songs today of knowing Jesus, knowing God. And today we're looking at the prophet Jeremiah. And we're going to take a look at what is the most well-known of his prophecies, which is on page 561 in your pew Bible, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. And so God is talking about a new covenant, and we'll get into some of the old stuff that he did with Jeremiah, as well as moving into one of these prophecies that he talks about. So there at the top of the page, starting at verse 31, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. And this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Well, as I said, we're going to talk about the prophet Jeremiah today. And Jeremiah tells us in his book exactly when he began to do his prophecy. He was called under King Josiah, and he was called in 626 BC. And his ministry continued through the destruction of the temple in 586 BC. And so he had a difficult time. It was a hard time for him to be a prophet. And the message that Jeremiah had was the people are going to suffer because of their disobedience, because of their unfaithfulness. And that's kind of, if there's a theme throughout the prophets, they're constantly reminding the people, when you have failed to be faithful, when you haven't been just, when you haven't cared for the poor, when you've worshiped other gods, there was a consequence for that, and there was punishment on the land. And so Jeremiah, in the first chapter, verse 13, he declares that he sees a boiling pot tilted away from the north, and he gives this image of this boiling pot that's about to pour out upon the land of Israel. And then in verse 14, "Out of the north, disaster shall break out on all the inhabitants of the land." And we know that prophecy came true because it was the Babylonians who were in the north who poured over, and it was disaster. You know, they killed many of the people. They sent into exile back into Babylon most of the other people. And all of this was because, again, of their unfaithfulness. There was judgment. And Jeremiah liked to use signs like this image of a pot to try to convey God's message. Now, if you remember, in the day of Jeremiah, there was no PowerPoint. There were no flip charts. So they had to come up with other things to get people's attention, and that's what Jeremiah did. And often the prophet would actually give his prophecies there again in the court, standing before the king. The prophet would come in, "Thus says the Lord." And so that's what Jeremiah did. Now, interestingly, in the 13th chapter of Jeremiah, one of the things God told him to do was to take a loincloth, a pair of underwear, if you will. He said, "I want you to take this, I want you to go up to Babylon, and I want you to bury it in between some rocks out in the middle of nowhere." So he took this loincloth and he put it in there and he let it stay for weeks on end. And then God said, "I want you to go back and I want you to get that loincloth and hold it up in front of the king. I was tempted. Take a pair of dirty underwear, stuff it in the ground. But that's what he did. He says, Israel, you are this loincloth. That's how God sees you. You've been unfaithful. You're dirty. You're filthy rags. And it's because of your unfaithfulness the Babylonians are going to come, because there is judgment for your lack of faith. In another place, Jeremiah was said, you know, in, if you remember, the prophet Hosea was actually told to marry a prostitute. Her name was Gomer. Hosea was said, this is, you're to live out my message by marrying a prostitute. And God was saying, by being your God, it's like God is married to an unfaithful wife. And often the people were compared to a prostitute by Hosea. But Jeremiah, often like Hosea, the prophecies of destruction were to come later. Jeremiah, the prophecies came during his life. And so God says, I don't want you to take a wife. I don't want you to have children, because it's while you're still alive that the judgment is coming. And so don't have a wife. Don't have children, because if you do, they're going to be killed. They're going to suffer. Wow, a harsh message to his prophet. And so it was, and we see, during the life, during the ministry of Jeremiah, that did come true. The suffering came through. Well, another incident that Jeremiah, again, comes back in front of the king, and this time he brings a big earthen pot. And again, I was tempted to bring a clay pot and just smash it down on the ground, because that's what Jeremiah did. He took this pot and just smashed it down. And he says, God's going to smash this country. And just as the shards go flying all over the place, the people are going to be taken into exile. They're not going to stay here. Boy, Jeremiah, you know, you can imagine how you would feel if you saw this man of God come in and smash that pot and says, this is God's message to you. There's accountability for what you're doing. There's judgment is on its way. And yet, one last illustration that, probably the most powerful that Jeremiah used was a yoke. He came in a yoke, and he appeared in front of the king, and he said, Israel, you are going to be under the yoke, the burden of Babylon. And it hadn't happened yet, but Babylon's going to conquer you. They're going to kill your leaders. They're going to send you into exile. Well, in that day and time, Jeremiah wasn't the only prophet. The king had his own prophets. And so one of the king's prophets came up. His name was Hananiah. And he took the wooden yoke and he smashed it. He hacked it up to bits. And he says, no, God has told me that he is going to release us and we will be great and strong again. Well, Jeremiah went back home, got into his workshop. This time he came back with an iron yoke. Chop this! And he also said, within the year, Hananiah, God's going to strike you down for false prophecy. And so it was. Within the year, Hananiah was dead, and it was a short time later that the prophecy of the yoke of Babylon came true. Now, as with the other prophets, the end game is never judgment. That's not God's desire. Just like when you discipline a child, the end is not to discipline, it's to change their lives, so that they don't repeat the behavior. And so even Jeremiah, with all of the destruction he said is coming, Jeremiah said, it's only going to last for a period. And Jeremiah said, it'll be 70 years that your people will be in exile before they'll be brought back. And we know that first exile happened in 597 BC. And then we know that King Cyrus defeated the Babylonians in 539 BC, 60 years later, and it was in those next 10 years that he then freed the people of Israel to come back to their homeland. And so his prophecy again came true, that after the period of suffering, because God's desire is never punishment, God's desire is that we would love him and live in a relationship with him. So while there was punishment, even as he was announcing punishment, he still offered the words of hope and restoration to the people. Now, moving along, probably that greatest promise of restoration is the text we read, the new covenant. And in that new covenant, God says, you know, it hasn't worked. Each time I've called you, I've shown you grace, and you've fallen away, and you've fallen away. And what God was doing just wasn't working. And so in the 31st chapter, finally God says, I'm going to change things up. I'm going to give you a new covenant. And it's not going to simply be based on the law, but people are going to know me. And so he writes, this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, after the exile. I'll put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer will they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they will know me, from the least until the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. You know, before Jesus, people wondered. God was on Mount Sinai. God was hidden. They weren't allowed to see the face of God. God was mysterious to them. He spoke through prophets. And now God says, they'll know me because I'm going to be one of them. And so God takes on human flesh in the person of Jesus. No longer do you say, I wonder what God is like. All you have to do is say, there he is. That's what God is like. And the God we get to know is the God who says, what is he like? I am the God who forgives their iniquities and remembers their sins no more. That's the hope that we have. Because the reality is, just like the Israelites deserved punishment and were sent into exile, we deserve punishment. None of us loves God with our whole heart, mind, and soul as we ought. All of us have been guilty of falling short of the glory of God. The sins we've committed, the sins we've thought about, we deserve punishment. But in the new covenant, God says the punishment is laid upon him instead of us. And so we know God. We won't have to say, know the Lord. All you have to do is know Jesus, and you know God, the one who took the punishment that we deserve. Because God just kept, that's the whole story of the history of the people of Israel. You know, God kept punishing and kept punishing, and they kept sinning and they kept sinning, and that cycle kept going on, and finally God says, we're going to do something new here. In Jesus, I'm putting the punishment on him. And now I send my spirit so that you will begin to act out of thanksgiving, out of gratitude, because instead of punishing you, he punished his own son. That's the depth of God's love for us. To know God is to know a God who would take on punishment on his own son instead of inflicting it upon us. That's the new covenant Jeremiah points to in the future. So even though he had to predict all of the terrible suffering of the Babylonians and all of that came true, God gave him that wonderful prophecy of the new covenant. It won't be the same old story. We're going to do something new in Jesus Christ. And then people will know who I really am, the God of love, the God who forgives. And so to know God is to know forgiveness. You know, we have Kairos Prison Ministry, and we've been training to go into California City next month to do a weekend there. And as part of the training, they were sharing the story of one of the prisoners that was going through the weekend. And he was sharing on tape, he said, but the weekend that I was going to this retreat, I was planning on murdering a man in prison the Monday I got out. He said, I was really only going to the weekend retreat because they had cookies there. We didn't get cookies in prison, so I just went for me. I was going to get some cookies. And he said he got there and he was convicted. And he realized God had loved him and God had forgiven him. And in fact, one of the exercises they do on the weekend is they give each person who attends a bag of cookies and said, you're not allowed to eat them yourself. You have to give them to somebody that you need to forgive. And that man took those cookies to the man he was planning on killing on Monday morning and gave them to that man and forgave him. Well, that's what it means to know the Lord. Instead of living by vengeance, is to live by forgiveness, because that's who God is. And that's how God has treated us. Instead of punishing us, Jesus is punished. So now we live as people who don't live out the cycle of punishment, but forgive even as God has first forgiven us. The other thing to know the Lord is to know humble service. You know, on the night he was betrayed, the night of the Last Supper, he takes a towel, wraps it around him, and washes his disciples' feet. And he says, this is what I'm all about. If you want to follow me, be a servant. And elsewhere, he had taught his disciples, the greatest among you is your servant. So if you want to know what God is like, see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. See Jesus seeing hungry people, and it says he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, see Jesus to see those tax collectors rejected by others and welcoming them into his fold, forgiving the adulteress caught in adultery, healing people whenever they turn to him. And so we see God, Jesus was a God of humble service and compassion. And so to know God is to know a calling to serve, because he first served us. He doesn't ask us to do anything he didn't do first. He's the one who served his disciples. He's the one who lived that life of service. So if you want to know God, that's who he is. And he says, now take up your cross. Be like me. Follow me. I was reading about a young pastor who had his PhD in theology. And his first church was in a small rural town in Illinois, a conservative little church in Illinois. And here was this highly trained doctoral student. He said, you know, we didn't get along real well. All of his newfangled ideas conflicted with their values. But to his credit, he said, later when I reflected on my ministry there, he said, I'm the one that needed to confess. He says, because I really saw they were a group of people that were living out the gospel. And he said, as I thought about it, here was a group of people from the congregation. There was a girl who had cerebral palsy, and they would take turns going over and stretching her muscles and exercising her to help her overcome the effects of cerebral palsy. And that farming community where when somebody was sick and there was hay in the field and that hay needed to be brought out of the field right now, the whole community would go and they would take that hay and they would get it baled and into the barn when that person wasn't able to do it themselves. And if a storm knocked down or a fire burned a barn, that community was there to help each other. And even though that young pastor, oh, they're not talking all the stuff that I've learned in seminary and they're not following me, fortunately God gave him the insight to say, wow, we may have butted heads on a lot of issues, but thanks be to God, because that's what it is to be the people of God. To know God is to know the one who washed the feet, to know the one of humble service. You know, and I'm so thankful in this congregation, because VBS is that great example here. Many of you who were here spending the whole week, how many of our youth, junior high, senior high, young adults, you know, out there with the kids, and all those little kids clinging on, hanging on to our teenagers, you're their role models. And they see you there serving, and they see you there loving Jesus. And as a result, you know, they know the Lord because they see you loving the Lord, and they see you serving them. And that's gonna, and the amazing thing is, even kids that aren't members of our congregation, when they get into junior high, they say, can I come back? and be a leader like the other leaders in your church? And we say, sure, come on back. See, because they've known the Lord, and they've learned what it means to serve. And you know, that's the great thing about our national youth gathering. When our kids were in Detroit for a week, it wasn't just fun and games. A full day, I mean, they cleaned up neighborhoods. They cleaned up literally thousands of vacant lots. They were filled with tires and filled with trash and refuse. And our 30,000 youth from across the country went into Detroit, and they literally cleaned thousands of vacant yards throughout that city as a way to say, we know the Lord. And the Lord calls us to serve even as he first served us. And so Jeremiah was given, in the midst of all the hard things he had to say to the people of Israel, God gave him that wonderful text today. That's not the way I'm going to continue doing it. I'm going to give a new covenant. I'm going to send my own son. And I'm going to quit simply punishing people for their sins. I lay their punishment on my son. That's what it means to know the Lord. Our God who would take punishment on himself, who would forgive our sins and remember our iniquities no more. God took on human flesh in Jesus, and now we know him, the God who died for us on the cross, the God who wrapped a towel around us and served those around him. To know God is to know forgiveness and love, and then to strive to share that love in our world. God bless you to that end. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, there's many things we still don't know about you, why evil happens, why we struggle the way we do. But Lord, keep our eyes trained on Jesus, that you placed our punishment on him, that you have forgiven our sin and remember it no more, that you have served us. Lord, give us faith in all that we see in Jesus and help us live as his disciples. Amen.